Pastor Brian is with us from Hungary, and just to say a few words about him and Paula. Just about every square foot of this property has been touched by his planning mind and administrative skill. The day school plan, the entryway, many elements, Scotty Dubay and the team that has really upgraded this stage, this room. By the way, the new color for the is in the back hallway. That's the new color that we want to put in here. There's a group of people that are color choosers. People, so we're going to do a facelift in here. But, you know, Pastor Brian has been really used of God in a great way in France, in Hungary, as we worked together there for many years, and then back here in Baltimore for maybe 10 years, and now he is living in Hungary, and he's here visiting. And he's going to take the offering for us. So we love him and Paula and the whole family very much. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, well, that was quite an introduction. I feel a lot better about myself now. No, this is the offering. Yeah, I'm actually not going to take the offering for you. I'm going to take it from you. but it's okay. No, it's amazing seeing the Bible college students up here. When Paula and I were in Bible college together, it was amazing. We had a 9-month-old son when we started, and we had 3 children when we finished. And I worked full time. I drove to Albany, commuted to Albany for some of those years, to Dalton for other of those years. Went to Bible college, not full time because it was a little bit heavy duty, you know. So I'd do Monday, Wednesday, Friday one semester, and then I'd do the Thursday. What are the other 2 days? Tuesday, Thursday. The other 2 days. And Lewis Hall was who just passed to be with the Lord just a couple of days ago. He was the registrar back then, and he would give me such a hard time. He was amazing. I think he gave everybody a hard time. But what amazing days those were! I was Pastor Barry Quirk's soccer coach. Actually, Marty Vieter and I were coaches together, and Marty was the king of torture. He would take the team. Okay, Marty, go ahead, take him. And he would salivate thinking about taking this group of young men over to Schermerhorn Hill and run them until they were begging for mercy. So we coached together. Yeah, Pastor Barry was an amazing center forward, the biggest center forward in the league. And God did amazing things there, bus ministry and so many things happened. And from that time, you know, we came here after I graduated in 87. We were the last ones, I think the only ones, to graduate in the new chapel. Actually, Päivi Toskinen, who has been on the mission field in Hungary since 1990 or 89, I think 27 years she's been there, she was the valedictorian of my class. And now she's in the church that I pastor. And she's still a lot smarter than I am. That hasn't changed. But wow, what a great thing it is to go to Bible college and to spend those years and to build that foundation. I think we calculated something like if you were to go to church once a week, you would have to go to church for 38 years. To get the same amount of Bible teaching that you would get by going to a Bible college for 4 years. And we always would say, doesn't it make more sense that if the Word of God is what gives us wisdom, doesn't it make more sense to front load the wisdom before you live your life rather than finally 38 years later getting enough wisdom to live the life that you already lived? You know what I mean? So that's Bible college is just so great in many ways. So I don't know what that has to do with the offering, but it's an encouragement. And I was thinking about the Lord. You know, Paul said that this is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was rich made himself poor so that we who are poor could be made rich in him. And that's really the spirit of the offering, isn't it? It's like, we don't have a lot. No, we don't. What we have is we have what we have. All of us are nonprofit, right? We have a mission, and that is to edify the found and to evangelize the lost. It's a family mission. It's a personal mission. We all serve that mission because we are members of the body of Christ. And so generally, all of our resources go to that. Generally, all of them do. Not about of course, the local church is amazing, but just in principle, the idea of the realities of the far country that we heard about on Wednesday. And the offering, it's worth it. It's worth it. And, you know, Jesus said, there was a rich man and he had a lot of money and things really happened in his favor. So he stored a lot of and said, how am I going to build bigger barns? And the Lord said, you know, you fool, don't you know, today your soul is required of you. And who is going to spend your money now? And when do we only, it's only during this life that we can decide what we're going to spend our money on. Once we're gone, somebody else is going to spend our money, and we can't decide what we're going to spend it on. And he alluded to that when you spend your money in this life for the purposes and the mission of Christ, it is storing up treasure in heaven, that we eternalize our physical resources. So that's the spirit of the offering, and let's give in that spirit. I love this church because this church does all of those. I think our mission is still the same, to propagate the gospel, to teach believers, and to live out a Christian lifestyle, or to live a Christian example, or an example of Christian lifestyle. And I see that happening here. This is a church that is right so much in beat and tune with the mission of Christ and what he's doing on this earth here in 2019, just before the Lord comes back. Okay, let's have a prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you give us this amazing option, that you have bought us out of the prison of sin, the slavery and bondage of selfishness, and you've set us free, made us new creations. Truly, you have made us rich. In making yourself poor, you have made us rich. We thank you for that grace. And Lord, we want that to be the spirit also of this offering, that you would set us free. Set us free, Lord, just to participate in what you are doing here and now in 2019, right here in Baltimore and around the world. Take these funds, Lord, we pray that you would multiply them, that you would give wisdom to those who have to allocate them to your glory and to your praise. Amen. God bless you.
Lord, so much happens through prayer. So many answers through prayer. You said the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. It seems, Lord, the Holy Spirit is so willing. He is moving and so willing to move, to manifest your nature and your character in lives. You know, our lives the lives of others, to pray for the sick when we go door to door. The Spirit is willing to answer prayer, to visit us in our meetings. Spirit is willing to heal emotions, direct our hearts into your love, to know you love us. Spirit is willing. In every service, Spirit is willing. When we assemble, Spirit is willing, wanting to magnify the Son of God. We have gathered in the name of the Son of God. A wiser one than Solomon is here. He is wiser and has a larger heart than Solomon had. And he is willing. He is willing to change a life, to give new life, new birth, willing to show us the Father, willing to open the Bible to us, which he wrote. The Spirit is willing. He is willing, but our flesh is weak. We fall asleep. We have strong desires in the other direction. We have bad habits. We cannot break them because we believe our flesh. And flesh is weak, and Spirit is willing to show us. Then, Father, we praise you and thank you. There is a river that makes glad the city of God. There is a river, though the mountains be cast into the sea, there is a river, oh God. That river is in heaven. River is on the earth. River comes out of our belly. River is in our hearts and our minds. Flesh is weak, but Spirit is willing. Yes, Lord, bless these thoughts tonight in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. I was thinking today, 1 Kings chapter 11. I've had a day of prayer. My day has been a day of prayer, and I heard great preaching this morning, and being in the body was so beautiful all day. And Craig Mann had a birthday party, and I went to see my mom, and she sends greetings to the church, and I got to get her out. She wants to come, so that'll be fun to have her come. She lives here in Baltimore. Praise God. 1 Kings chapter 11, would you turn there with me? I do not know how this relates to anyone, and this is a faith message. I'm going to go real simple, I think so, and maybe the text will speak for itself. I have something about it. I can just say what it is saying. So we're reading the text. And I want you to make sure to start with Jesus is greater than Solomon. We're going to talk about two, Jesus and Solomon. We have a few words for Jesus. Wisdom, understanding, I won't write it down. Understanding, prudence, and largeness of heart. Did Jesus have largeness of heart? Answer? Yeah, he did. How do we know that? Because he had all these people in his heart. Because he had the Father in his heart. Because he cared about the world that was in his heart. When he was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them." He had largeness of heart. Because he loved his Father's will, he had largeness of heart. He had it, and that's beautiful. That's what happens to us too. Your world gets larger because of your heart. This is God's work amongst us, that we would have largeness of heart. So, King Solomon, now let's go to his story, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. I want you to go back to 1 Kings 3 and read about who Solomon was, what he got. He got 3:9. He got understanding, he got wisdom, and understanding the same. And then in chapter 4, verse 29, he got largeness of heart. Do you see that? Maybe we could put that verse up. Thank you guys up there that are working the screen. I mean, you guys are good. You're really good. You guys are awesome. Could you go now to 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29? So we can read that. God gave Solomon wisdom, understanding, exceeding much, and largeness of heart. That's amazing that he had such a big heart. He had a big kingdom. He had a big grocery list. And I love that text, maybe just to point it out to you. 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 22. Thanks for putting that text up also. Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour, 70 measures of meal. Next one, 10 fat oxen, 20 oxen out of the 100 sheep. Do you know who he is feeding? It must be for one day. How many hundreds of, how many? I don't know. 20 oxen, well, 100 sheep in one day. Next one? What's the next verse say? Okay. He was feeding an army. His house was full of people. He had administrators. He had his goal, his vision. He was a great king, great king. Of course, the follow-up on this is a bit of a mystery, because he had written about women in his Proverbs, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7. He realized how important it was to be careful with women. But I kind of see some parallel between largeness of heart and having so many women in his life. It may sound strange, but I think to have people that you can help, to have people that want to understand, people that want counsel, people that are looking for some answers, people that are attached, of course, to his power. I think the women, they were part of his foreign policy, diplomacy, was to marry the women on the outside of his borders that would extend his country. And he did this contrary to what the scripture says in Deuteronomy 18, that the king was not to multiply wives, nor multiply horses, or they would go back to Egypt, or multiply gold, that was a false security. But he did this in chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. So now we have this wisdom, largeness of heart, that somehow has changed, but he has the capacity and he has love that he's clinging to these women in what we could say natural horizontal relationship. And maybe he has a false confidence that he can control this. He has this capacity for this. He believes that I can handle it. I can handle it. Which is, when we go to Jesus on this side of the chart here, he has the largeness of heart, but it isn't for you women. It's really for the world, and it is for his Father, isn't it? I always do my Father's will. I delight in my Father's will. The Holy Spirit has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus, can you be poor? Yeah, I can be poor. It's fine. I have largeness of heart, and I have wisdom and understanding. And actually, people are drawn to me for the right reason, because I'm not feeding into their flesh. It's kind of like Solomon. It seemed like he had the power, the dignity, the money. He had everything, and the women were able to reinforce that, and he was able to meet their need, and then they were kind of meeting his need in a fleshly relationship of mutual support. And this is a strange thing. It just started to go, and it just kept going, and it kept going, and he wasn't corrected. And it kept going and kept going, and this is called chain sinning. It's a mentality here that he had. And it's explained here in principle. They turned away his heart, verse 3. Verse 4, it came to pass when Solomon was old. I'm sorry, did we miss a verse? Yeah, verse 3. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 as the third grade Sunday school students said he had 300 porcupines. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And when we read this, I know we all laugh or amaze. It's out of our, I have no idea what that means. But I want to be more serious about it for a minute. I believe that once I get into my error, that error leads me into the error that leads me more, and I accept it as normal. Like Solomon, it could be that if he was confronted with truth, he would say, "What? What? I don't know what you're talking about. This is normal for me. This is fine. You know, I don't know. Why are you laughing about it? Why? What do you see about this?" We should be able to understand this. That there is this possibility of me growing in my error with my gifts and my ability and my position to lie to myself to accept something normal that isn't. It's way off. It's way off the chart. That man is so wrong. And this error has led him into idolatry. I want to compare it with Jesus, because when Jesus' mother and father met him at the age of 12, they said to Jesus, where have you been? And he looks at them, and we kind of get the idea that he's going, don't you know I must be about my father's business? Haven't you gotten that yet? Don't you know who I am, mom and dad? I've got something called, I'm called. I have something deeply serious happening in my life. I am here, and you cannot imagine how large my heart will become and how much I will love and how much I will forgive and what I will do in this world. But I will. His first miracle in Cana, they ran out of wine, and his mother came to him. I want you to hear, the mother, the woman, the mother came to Jesus. With Solomon, the women came to Solomon, and it was a relationship that he couldn't, I don't know, this is a thing, I'm just talking to you. I don't know why he couldn't handle that. Why couldn't he say, I'm very sorry, I don't have any time to talk to you. I have nothing to do with you. You go find your counselor. I am not your counselor. Go find your life, live your life. You're from Moab, go back home. And you're from Egypt, and you're Pharaoh's daughter. Well, I'll send a letter with you and congratulate him on having such a fine daughter, but I don't have anything in my heart for you. It's amazing. Why? Because we all know this. Of course we do. We know how we slide. We know how soft we are. We know how we feel. We know how people can pull our strings and push our buttons. We know a man knows what pornography is. He knows what seduction is. A man knows what money is. He knows what a good position is. We all know these things. And the funny thing about the paradox between the two of them is that this one is the one that gave him the wisdom and largeness of heart that somehow became the vehicle by which he had this attractive ability and developed a bad habit of getting women around him in the hundreds. Now, I think you can hear me. I'm not saying anything like toxic about women. Women are awesome. Abigail and Deborah and the bride of Christ. Christ wanted a bride. That's us. But he doesn't play a game with his bride. Remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve. Eve eats the fruit out of deception, offers it to Adam, and Adam has God in his Eve, and it's just too strong. He's got to go with Eve. I'm going to eat this. I'm throwing my money down on this one. I'm playing a game. I'm going with Eve. I'm going to eat it too. I'm drawn to her. I'm attracted to her. I'm sold out on this, I'm going for it. All that I'm saying is Isaiah 30 says there is such a thing as chain sinning. It does happen to us, and we go into it. And in all of this blessing that we have, and our design as people. And you got to have somebody to say, hold it, or somebody praying for me. Somebody saying, Jesus, come on, Jesus, open his eyes. Stop it. Stop it. And go with the largeness of heart for the mission. Largeness of heart for holiness. Largeness of heart for truth. Largeness of heart, you know. Largeness of heart. We just had a marriage getaway. And we have seen through the years how complicated it can be when somebody is pulling in this direction and the other spouse is pulling in this one, wanting to go this way. And the other spouse is going this way. And I don't have any, I just bring it to our attention. But look at in the chapter, we'll just notice this, chapter 11, it says, down to verse 14, the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. There's two more in the chapter. Like, he's got this whole thing going on, and now comes, you know, somebody out of the blue. Remember when the Shah in Iran, some of you are too young to know, but the Shah of Iran was overthrown, and the Ayatollah had been camping out in Paris, France. And the minute the Shah was overthrown, the Ayatollah came to Iran and took over. But he had been some decades in Paris. This guy too, this one. This guy had been out of the picture totally. There is a truth that goes like this. When I follow God, God keeps my enemies away from me. It's true. When we follow God and do his will, somehow we don't have the same troubles. We have trouble in the way to plan of God, but there is a truth here that sometimes when I go away from God while I am alive, the Lord will stir up an adversary. Now he has my attention. Now I humble myself and I seek him if I can. I seek him with all my heart. And I find the way, and the Spirit will lead me. And I can cry out and he can deliver me out of my trouble. That is a true thing. I'm not saying we should be analyzing our life all the time, but I am saying it is a truth. I believe it. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Beautiful. So, what can we say here about this? But let's just be people of the Spirit and follow the Spirit. And if he says no to that thing, then that's the end of the story. I don't bring it up again. It's not in the picture. It's off the grid. It's not in the playbook. It's over. I don't have it. That's not in. I don't look again. Remember Balaam? The Lord said to Balaam, Balaam, some people will come to your house tomorrow, but don't go with them. They came to his house, and Balaam, they had a little talk about money and about cursing Israel, and he asked God, could I go with them? You know what God said? Go with them. He said, go with them. He shouldn't have asked. He shouldn't have asked. He went with them. He goes with them again. He wants to curse Israel. He can't. But he wants to. He's a man that is double-minded, a man that doesn't know what he's playing with, a man that should have stayed away from the thing, a man that's cursed and running in error. And by the time his error is so great that a donkey is talking to him, and he's beating the donkey and telling him to get going, when the donkey crushed his foot, that would not stop him from running in the way of Balaam, and the talking donkey could not slow him down. There are some men that are so much after their lusts that you can't stop them. Stop. Turn in. Believe. Humble yourself. Be spirit-filled. Believe. Follow God. He will enlarge our hearts. Enlarge it in prayer. Enlarge it in worship. Enlarge it in our imagination. Enlarge it in our possibilities. Enlarge it in our gift set. Enlarge it in our family. I can't handle my kids, but maybe the Holy Spirit will enlarge my capacity. I cannot handle my teenagers, but maybe that's good for me. Maybe God can give me the wisdom of Solomon, and even a better than Solomon is here, who can enlarge our hearts and help us in church life. I cannot handle church life. God can enlarge my heart and give me that capability. I could never be a missionary. Maybe God would enlarge my heart. How many pastors say, I could not never do that. I could not do this. I cannot believe that what it is that you do. But how is it, isn't it possible that God could enlarge our heart so that we are able to do things that are a lot better than what Solomon did, and a lot less painful than what Solomon did, and a lot less troublesome than what Solomon did? Which life do I choose? And what we set our hearts on is important to us. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for these thoughts from your Holy Spirit tonight and every listening ear. It's a mystery to us, Lord. And a woman, and the woman represents a lot of things, but the power that a woman has over a man is great. And there is a lot that has power over a woman's heart that is great. And we want to recognize it tonight and just say, Father, keep our hearts from idolatry. Keep our hearts from loving too much the wrong thing, or loving the wrong thing at all. Lift us, and then in our godly relationships with our wives and the ladies that are being dated, and godly relationships, that you would lead us and guide us, Lord, with largeness of heart in a holy sense. And if there are people that haven't started on the journey, there is the guarantee that you would have the wisdom of Christ in your life. He will guide you through your life. He will. In Jesus' name. Anyone accepting Jesus tonight, believing in Jesus, please say yes to Jesus. Anyone at all, say yes to Jesus and believe in him. And you are born again, born of the Spirit. And Jesus will answer your prayers and guide you with his heart. Amen.